Before we transition to the sermon, Dave TV in HD is selling his CD for $10. Support. You already have it. Get some for your friends. So support. Okay. All right, guys. It's time for the sermon. Minister Clifford Gousseau is a young man who is truly in love with God. He is currently at Nyack College pursuing a degree in pastoral ministry and psychology and is a CEO of his record label, The Launching Pad. Minister Clifford has traveled the world preaching the gospel and bringing many souls to the kingdom of God while spearheading the international ministry P4DM. His gift landed him on TBN, where he ministered before millions. With his unique testimony and life experiences, we are all learning and can clearly see what it truly means to be a problem for the devil. Amen. Let's all welcome Pastor Clifford Gousseau.
Somebody praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Am I supposed to grab her?
Can we just stand up on our feet and begin to worship the Lord?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand on our feet and just worship God. Say, I give myself away. Give my so you can you say I give myself. Hallelujah. Oh, say I give myself so you can use me. Say my life is not my own. It's not my own. To you, say my life is not my own, Jesus. To you I belong. Say I give myself to you. Say I give myself. Hallelujah. Say I give myself. Hallelujah. Remember, he's worthy of your worship right now. Hallelujah. Say, I give myself. Hallelujah. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy. I give you glory because you're worthy. I give myself so you can say, take my life, take my. Sacrifice. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. I give myself away. Hallelujah. Lord God, I draw strength from you. Hallelujah. Say, I give myself. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I give myself.
I give myself away.
So you.
So you.
One more time. Say, my life is not my own.
My life is not my own. To you I
say, I give myself. One more time, say my life is not.
My life is not my own.
To you.
To you I belong.
I give myself.
I give myself. I give myself to you.
Say I give myself. I give
myself away.
No music. Oh, no music. Say
I give myself. myself. I give myself away.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Say, I give myself.
I give myself away so you can use me.
Somebody just begin to clap your hands and give God glory. Give God praise. I know it's kind of late, and I'm going to make sure I'm short as possible. I'm going to be out in 20 minutes, and I'll let you guys go. How many people were blessed on tonight? The reason why I could let my light shine is because after I accepted Christ into my life, I realized that I was rejected by so many people. Not because I was doing the wrong things, but because I was doing the right things. I was actually doing what God called me to do, and people were rejecting me for doing what God called me to do. And it was hard for me to accept that at first. Like, why are you rejecting me if I'm doing what God is asking me to do? I'm doing the right thing. But then after I got comfortable with that, I became comfortable with being rejected by the world, knowing that I was accepted by Christ. And once I realized that the world rejected me, I became comfortable with that. I was able to turn up, all the way up. Why? Why was I able to turn up? I was able to turn up because I realized you're not going to accept me for me. You're not going to do it. So it left me no more barriers to try to do something that you're going to accept when I know that what I'm going to do, you're never going to get it. You're never going to accept it anyway. So why turn down? Now I got to turn it all the way up. I just got to go fully and do me. I got to do what God has called me to do. And that's what we need to get to, a place where when we know that the world is going to reject us, the only way to go forward in what God has called us to do is to actually go all the way. That's why a lot of us, we fall back from God, because we don't want to go all the way. We want to be able to be loved by people and be loved by God at the same time, which we always will be loved by God, but be accepted by people and be accepted by God at the same time. And it doesn't work that way. And so I just wanted to share that with you. I really want to turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 4. I believe that the word of the Lord is going to come out of Acts chapter 4 tonight. I know that it's in Luke 8, and I know it's talking about no one lights a lamp and then covers it with a bowl or hides it under a bed. Instead, they put the lamp on a lampstand so that the people who come in will have enough light to see. Everything that is hidden will become known, and everyone will see it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Can we stand to our feet? We're just going to read a few verses out of Acts chapter 4. I'm just going to try to breeze through this. I'm going to read from verse 18. I'm going to read from verse 18. Then I'm going to try to go through this. And I'm going to preach it straight from the word tonight, because the word is so rich, I don't even want to take away from it. Verse 18, if you find it, say amen. Oh, God, this thing is so rich. All right, I'm going to read it from verse 13. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. Somebody say, nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then confer together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Somebody say, in this name. Verse 18 says, then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all. Somebody say, at all. In the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. and the word of the Lord is blessed. Somebody look at the person next to you and say, I can't help it. I can't help but shine. I can't help but be victorious. I can't help but walk in all that God has for me. Somebody say, I can't help it. Jesus, you may be seated. Hallelujah. Now in Luke chapter 8, just to give you a quick backdrop. In Luke chapter 8, it talks about being the light. And not just being the light, but it's saying, how can you hide your light once you become light? You have to understand, someone said it today, it's, you're not a human doing, you are a human being. Right? So you cannot deny who you are. You're going to be who you've been created to be because you can't be nothing else. You can't be a human and bark like a dog. Even though you bark like a dog, eventually a few English words are going to come out your mouth. Why? Because that's just a part of you being human. Eventually, you're going to have to go to the bathroom, whether you have a toilet or not, because you are a what? A human being. In the passage, when it's talking about us being the light, it's saying that this is who you are. This is what you are. You're not trying to be a light. You are a light. That's why it says, if you are the light, why would you try to hide it under a bed? It's basically saying you're so much what you are that the only way for you not to be, you can't not be it, but you got to go through so many limps to try to hide it. You're hiding who you are. That's what it's basically saying. It's saying that you are a light. You so much cannot not be light that the only thing you could do is stay out of dark places so nobody can see you. And guess what? The whole world is darkness. So, as being the light, it is impossible for you to hide that light. So the problem is not the fact that you are not light. The problem is that you have not accepted the fact that you're light. You have not accepted the fact that Jesus has called you into his light. And to give it into more context of what the Bible is saying, it's talking about the parable of the sower. How some fell on stony ground. How some was choked up by the weeds. And how some was because of problems in life and all the things that we go through. Basically, it's saying that out of all the people who are hearing the word of God, only 25% of us, if I would give it a percentage, because there was seed that was sown four different times in four different ways. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell by the weeds and it was choked up. Some fell by the wayside and it was never able to grow. But there was a portion, there was a remnant that stayed behind and that was able to receive the word. Let me preach this thing because I don't have much time and this thing is in my spirit. So basically what God is saying is that when you preach the word, not everybody's going to get it. As a matter of fact, they call this the parable of the sower. It's a parable. What is a parable? It's a mystery. Guess what Jesus was doing? He was going out to people preaching a word that he knew nobody was going to understand anyway. Jesus was going out preaching to thousands of people. And whenever he spoke a parable, understand that he was speaking something on purpose that nobody in the crowd would understand. Literally, after Jesus would speak a parable, everybody would leave like, what did he just say? What is he talking about? I don't get what he's saying. Literally, Jesus spoke parables. And guess who were the only people who were able to go to Jesus and say, hold up, what does that mean? His disciples. Do you understand that you can be in church, you can hear the word, but unless you have a personal relationship with Jesus, you do not understand what's being said? And it's not even your fault. It's not your fault that you don't understand, because God has made his word a mystery to those who don't humble themselves to hear it. You have to come and approach God with a spirit of humility, because God is not speaking, oh hallelujah, God is speaking to everyone, but only those who know him understands him. Jesus, I might as well be speaking Chinese to some of you right now. Because no matter what I say, unless you turn to God and say, God, what is it that you mean? After you leave this place, guess what? You wasted your time. God will speak a word unto you, and you'll hear it with your ears, but you won't hear it with your ears. The Bible says, he who has a spirit, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So that means that the only way you can hear what God is saying to you is if you have his Spirit. That's the only way. The only way to hear him. The problem with the church is that we're so busy trying to hide the light. We don't want. Jesus, help me. When you know Jesus, you know him because you are part of the few that heard something, and then it resonated with you so much. It touched you so deep. And I'm not talking about you come to church and you cried about it. No. I'm talking about it messed you up. It changed everything. It's as if like you hit a brick wall and you got to stop and you got to think about, wait, hold up. All right. Jesus is real now. I get him now. I don't get everything about him, but I can't live the same anymore. I can't talk the same anymore. I can't act the same anymore. I can't do the same things anymore. And it doesn't mean that you stop doing the same things right then and there, but it just means that you can't feel comfortable doing those things no more. You no longer feel comfortable because you have come encounter with something so much more greater than yourself that it causes you to get uncomfortable with who you've been. When you come into contact with God, the only way that you know that you've been in contact with God, I'm talking about the master of the universe, I'm talking about the King of Kings, you have to get uncomfortable with who you've been. Until you can become uncomfortable with who you are, then you have never stepped into his presence. You have never met the King of Kings, because when you meet Jesus, he makes you uncomfortable because now you know your condition. But I came to let somebody know, even though you see a condition, that doesn't mean that it's your conclusion. Meaning, you might not be passing all your tests right now, but if you start studying more than you've done before, then you can start passing your tests. See, your condition doesn't have to be your conclusion. Doesn't have to end that way just because it started that way. Some people say, oh, you're never going to graduate just because you started off the semester wrong. That's a lie. If you change what you do, then you get different results. I cannot help it. They like, Clifford, what's wrong with you? Like, why are you always preaching? Why are you always talking about Jesus? I remember I was in high school, and this girl told me, she was a Muslim. She said, you smell like Jesus. And I was like, my God, thank you. She said, if you don't stop preaching about Jesus, I can't sit next to you. I said, well, I met Jesus before I met you, so you can hit the door. I'm not going to give up my Jesus for what? To make you happy? People want you to deny Christ so that you can make their lives more comfortable. Because do you not understand? I got it. I get it, Betty. I get it, Bruce. I make people uncomfortable. I make them so uncomfortable. My presence alone. Why? Because my presence shows you what you need to be but don't want to be. My presence alone. Just me following God. I don't even got to preach no more. I just walk into a room. And let me tell you something. My life ain't perfect. My life is not perfect, but for some reason, there's something on the inside that when I walk into a room, people see it and get automatically uncomfortable with it. Because I show them what they need to be, even though they don't want to be. I remind them that they're not walking in the ways of the Lord, so they get uncomfortable. But I want to go to this text, because this text really just was doing something to me. It says, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed. Do you know that as you are talking about God, it greatly disturbs some people? The Bible says they were greatly disturbed. Meaning they had a problem with that. They felt uncomfortable. They didn't feel right in their own skin. They like, yo, we don't like what we're hearing right now. It's not that they were just disturbed. They were greatly disturbed. Do you know that just being who God has called you to be will greatly disturb some people? That's why you cannot live to be accepted by man. That's why you cannot live to be accepted by people, because you are going to greatly disturb some people when you live out your calling in Christ. You cannot be a part of the crowd. You'll never fit in. I tried to fit in. It's like putting a Lego, you know what I mean? Somewhere where, like, you ever try to put a puzzle and then you try to put it in, you try to force it and it's not going nowhere. But yet you're still trying to, like, push it in. Y'all probably don't know puzzles. Y'all got iPads and all types of stuff now. They don't know about that. That's so crazy. Isn't that crap? I feel old. Like, yo, hold on. Y'all really don't know about puzzles. That's crazy. You're welcome by my side. They don't know the struggle. They got Ruzzle. They got all types of, what they got now? Miss on me. Everything on the iPad, it just flat. Everything. Puzzle app. No, it's not. No. I rebuke puzzle apps in the name of not. Y'all don't know the struggle of getting a piece of puzzle and you trying to stick that, you know, getting a piece of fornication and then you come to church and try to. Getting a piece of gossiping and then you come to church and you trying to. Oh, God loves me for who I am. Yeah, he loves you, but he hates what's in you. And he wants to take it out. He wants to pull it out of you. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. They got locked up, and nobody wanted to let them out. Why? Because they were teaching about Jesus. That's it. Nothing else. Was they doing something wrong? Can I get some feedback? Were they doing something wrong? They were doing what? The right thing, right? They were doing what God called them to do. And they got locked up just for doing that. People would try to lock you up. People would try to, they'll reject you. They'll start speaking bad things about you. They'll put you in categories that you don't belong. Why? Just because you're teaching about Jesus. Pretty much what I'm doing right now, if I did it in their day, I would have got locked up. They would have came in here with a SWAT team and arrested me, which is going to happen soon in America. It's already been happening, just in case you didn't know. And it's happening. People be having Bible studies, and they run up and raid Bible studies. Like, you're not supposed to have Bible studies. Some kid literally just kneeled down after a touchdown, and they threw a flag on the play and gave him a penalty. Why? Overly celebrating. Just because he just knelt down for like 2 seconds, no joke. Just went like this, and they threw a flag on the play. Penalty, 15 yards, go back. After he scored a touchdown. He scored a touchdown, and they said he overly celebrated. Just because he knelt a knee down to give God glory. The enemy don't even want to give you 2 seconds to bow down before God. He doesn't want to give you not even a minute to bow down before God. He doesn't want God getting no glory, no credit. And not just, he don't want God to get glory and credit. He doesn't want it to be done in the open. That's the problem. He don't mind if you do it inside your house. He does mind because he's going to come after you there. But the problem is when you do it in the open, when you show people. The Bible says, let your light so shine. You want to know why the Bible says that? Glory to God. When you let your light shine before men, Bruce, it gives you more faith. You want to know why? Because you start living in miracles. You start living in healing. You start to see the things that the disciples saw. I seen the things the disciples saw. I seen blind eyes open. I've seen demons, 10,000 demons possess a woman. And the Lord used me to take 10,000 demons out of a woman that was possessed. 15,000, my bad. I've seen that. I've experienced that. I've walked in that. Why? Because I was letting my light shine. Listen, I want you to understand something. I wasn't looking for that. I wasn't looking for her. I was just going there. Mind you, I went to that place, to that church, and I didn't even want to be there. But because I'm a light and the occasion arised, I was there to shine. And the glory of God was able to shine through me and through other people that were there. That's what happens when you are a light. All you got to do is live life. You see, a lot of people be like, oh, you know, you wear a big cross on your neck. Some people put a guo munti na techa, like they put the munti, and they got all this appearance, but they got no power. They got no power. They look like Christians, they smell like Christians, but inside of them, they have no relationship with God. They have a form of godliness. It's a fog, it's a smoke screen, it's not real. But when you really have Jesus, and let me tell you something, it doesn't matter, you could be this kid right here. When I pray, you know what I pray now? I pray, God, I pray that you touch the youngest kid to the oldest man or woman. The youngest boy, the youngest girl, because guess what? If God hits this, oh my Jesus, I can't even, if God fills this little boy, he believes in the word and he fills him, do you know this one little boy right here could change everything? He said, out of the mouth of babes, I've ordained praise. That's why he says, do not suffer the children to come to me. And who God wants you to be like? He wants you to be what? A child. He wants you to be a child. You know why? Because he wants us to be totally dependent. These men were greatly disturbed. Why? Because they finally met people who were totally dependent on Jesus. When you meet someone who totally depends on Jesus, guess what? Nothing you say to that person can shake them. Nothing you do to that person could break them. It doesn't matter what you go through in life. And I've experienced this. I'm not talking about something somebody told me. I've experienced this going through hell in my life. And then I turned to God. Oh, my Jesus. It was as if like everything people were saying about me, everything people were doing, like everything that was going on in my life was just rolling off my back. Like, I'm like Matrix, like just dodging everything. And guess what? It just did not matter to me because I already knew what God was saying about me. It's a blessing to know what God is saying about you in the midst of what people are saying about you. Because if you get caught up in what people are saying about you, you've already disobeyed God. You know this disobedience to God when God speaks a word over your life and then you let somebody else come say something else and you put more value in the mouth of that person than what God told you? That's what God is trying to teach us here. And I'm just going to grab this and stay down here because just give me like 5 more minutes. Promise. We're going to be out of here. But I got to say this stuff. They said, by what power or what name do you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people. Jesus, do you know that it's always people who are leading that's going to stop people from seeing God? It's always people leading, rulers, people that are in positions that's going to try to stop people from seeing God. You want to know why? Because if you really start seeing God, they can no longer lead you anymore. Because only leaders who have God are not intimidated by people who have God. But if you do not have God in your life and you're a leader, you're going to try to stop people from having God. Because what does God do? It gives you liberty. It gives you freedom. They don't want you to have freedom to make your own decisions. So they try to force you and blind you from the truth so that you can accept their truth so you can be fully indebted to them. That answers some questions? I'd rather be in the hands of God than in the hands of people. Let me tell you something. Organized religion, that's what it is. It's following a tradition. It's not following the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. But thank God that he could penetrate even the most demonic organization systems. You know what I'm saying? Because this is a system. And a system in the Roman times is actually a sewer. That's what it is. If you hear educational system, it literally means educational sewer. In the Roman times, that's what a system was. It was a sewer system. And then they started adding that word to everything else. Everything that is systematic, that's not leading you towards the faith or leading you towards Jesus, is actually a system of Satan. It's a sewer. That's why you have to know the word. Look what he says. Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this. Look, you see how they did that? I love how they did that. Look at the kind of answer they give. They said, hold on. So y'all got beef with us because we made a lame man walk? All right, since y'all have beef with us because we made a lame man walk and we did this act of kindness, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed, Jesus Christ. Like, just in case you didn't know. You know what I mean? Like, that was gully. Like, that, yo, that's some, yo, that's OG right there. For real. Like, just in case you didn't know, because they could have been like, it was Jesus. It's about it. You know, we'd be like, in the name of Jesus, he was healed. No. Let me read that again. I love how they did that, because that's something I would do. You know what I mean? Like, I would do that. He was like, just in case you didn't know. First he said, it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Just in case you ain't know where he was of Nazareth. He didn't just let you know his name. He let you know where he came from. You know what I mean? Like, as I say, Betty from New Jersey. Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't get it confused. He was from 485 Sterling Street. You know what I mean? Like, 10777 zip code type. You know what I mean? Like, he let him know the whole zip code. And then he goes, whom you crucified. Don't get it twisted. We still remember. You see, you crucified him. And then he goes, whom God raised from the dead. My God. He made it so clear. Like, I like how you be like, clear. That was clear. You know what I mean? And then he goes, that this man stands before you healed. And then he goes further. He goes, Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation, he's going in some more. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Mark, yo, I'm sorry, like, that got me so excited just now. Like, when we are answering people who Jesus is, like, we need to be ready, like, hold on. What? You, huh? Jesus? Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you who God is. He's not dead. He is alive. His name is Jesus. He was from Nazareth. He was crucified. He was taken to the grave. But on the third day, he resurrected. Just in case you didn't know. And guess what? There's no other name by which man must be saved. They get so aggy. They get tight. They get mad when you say stuff like that. I'm telling you, people be, yo, they get, you know, when you don't have no words, it's like, don't have no words, like, because these men were clear. When you clear, when you know who Jesus is, I'm telling you right now, you're clear. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want to know why? Because you were dead in your sin. And then God came with the Holy Spirit and he said, clear! How many people have ever experienced the clear from God? Woo! The great physician. Dead on the operating table of your sin. And then he comes and he says, clear! And then all of a sudden you're like, and then you see Jesus. And then you're like, wait, my life can't be the same no more. I can't act the same no more. I got to give up some of these friends that I used to hang out with. No matter what they say about me, I can't be the same person I used to be. Why? Because somebody said, clear. Somebody said clear. Somebody gave me life. I could stay right there, but I just want to say one thing. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Oh, God. How much minutes I have left? Please just tell me at least five. Listen, they just made it clear who Jesus was. But then they examined them. They realized that they were unschooled and ordinary. But then they were confounded because they were so courageous. Understand that they're already, the scriptures is already telling you something right here. People of that time were not courageous. They could see the wrong thing and walk away. Because they was astonished just by their courage alone. I just told a lame man to walk. I just told you boldly who Jesus is. And you're astonished? You're surprised that I'm able to speak with such courage? After you done seen me perform a miracle right here, 5,000 people saved, and you're still astonished that I have courage to say the things that I'm saying. And guess what they said? Guess what it says? They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Meaning, after they saw the miracle, after they heard what they said, but then they examined it and had to take notes. Oh God. And said, not that these men know Jesus. Woof! Not that these men hung out with Jesus. But these men been with Jesus. When you've been with Jesus, gotta take your unschooled self, your ordinary self, make you something so powerful and so great that when they see you, they'll be so astonished that they're going to have to take notes. They're going to have to call in meetings like, what is up with this person? What is up? But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. I'm just going to read the last verse. But Peter and John replied. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen or heard. Listen, if you're not speaking about Jesus, I don't blame you. It just says you have not seen and you have not heard. People who've encountered Jesus, we have seen and we have heard. We have faith in God. Why? Because through his word and through revelation from God, that is through his word, but through life experience, we have seen and heard God through life experience. We've actually encountered the Spirit of God. He has become alive in us. And that's what it means to be a light. You just are. That's it. You're just a light. So for people not to see your light, you literally have to go out of your way to hide it. Realize it and say, stop being light. Why did you choose to stop being light? It says you cannot hide a light under a bed or under a bowl. Meaning you will have to literally go out of your way to hide it. That's what it's saying. Once you become a light, once you become a child of God, you literally can't help but shine. You cannot help but people see who you are. And God is saying, yes, people will reject you because you are light. Yes, not everybody will agree with you because you're light. But once you are that light, don't be ashamed of it. Let it shine. If there's anything I want you to remember, I want everybody to stand to their feet. We're done. If there's anything I want you to remember, Jesus, and this word was for me. I prayed to God earlier this morning. And when I prayed to God, I said, God, what do you want from me? What is it that you're asking of me? Like, God, what's up with me and you? Like, no matter how much I want to go my own direction, you always, you fighting with me. It's like, I don't feel comfortable doing my own thing. I don't feel comfortable making my own decisions. I'm like, what's up? What do you want from me? And God said simply, Clifford, just make me known. Tell other people about me. Tell people what I've done for you. Don't be ashamed of me. And I literally was crying. Not my tears, but his spirit inside. And I'm crying, and I feel the Holy Spirit crying in me, grieved. And he's like, Cliff, please, please, my children are lost. My children don't know me. Just tell them about me. Close your eyes. Heavenly Father God, I've done what you told me to do. I've told them about you. I've said more than I could have ever said. And I ask, dear Father God, that you would reach into their hearts and do your part, because I did mine. And I know that's all you want us to do, our part. We're ordinary, we're unschooled, but in your hands, we can become extraordinary. We can astonish people, and we can have courage. I just ask that you give them courage. If there's anybody who has not accepted Jesus and you want to do that today, I just want you to raise up your hand real high wherever you are. Say, I want to accept Christ. I want to not be ashamed to be a light. I want to be a light. I want to be a light. If you raise your hand, I want you to come up real quick. We're going to pray for you. Young man, you could come. We gotta go. It's late. I know it's late. But if God only came for him, then I make no apologies. Is there anybody else that says, I want to be a light? I want to be a light. You know what? I'm gonna make this call open to anyone that knows that they've been hiding their light. And you say, I want to be a light. I want to stop being ashamed of being a light. I want to stop hiding my faith, but putting my faith on display. If that's you, I just want you to quickly come. 2-minute prayers, 10:30. You'll be out by 10:32. Is there anybody that says, I want to be a light, and you want me to pray that God will give you a spirit of boldness to be a light? All right, let's pray for this young man. Can we? Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. I did my part. I played my part. It was foolish. It was ordinary. Nothing special. But I did my part. Is there anybody that says, you know what? I want to start letting my light shine like I've never let it shine before. If that's you, I just want you to come in the front right now. And you're saying, I want to make a commitment today that I'm going to let my light shine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I feel the presence of the Lord. I feel the presence of the Lord. When I came here, I didn't want to rap. I didn't want to rap. And the Lord was like, what are you doing? I said, I don't feel like rapping. I just want to preach. And the Lord was like, Cliff, I've given you light. You not rapping will be hiding it under a bowl, defeating the purpose. It's a gift. Use it. I've given it to you. Is there a gift that God has given you and you have not been using it for his glory? God wants to give you more. He says, to the one who have, he gives more. To the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. God wants to use you. Is there anybody else that says, you know what, God, use me. I want to be used for your glory. I'm tired of doing my own thing. I just want to be used by you. I want you to do through me. Do it through me. Hallelujah. Can I get some people? I just want you guys to repeat this after me. Say, Lord. Say, come on, I don't hear you. Say, Lord, I come before you now, a sinner in your presence, because I know in your presence there is freedom. In your presence, I am free to live for you. So I ask you, Lord, for your presence. I give myself away to you. Father, I want to be a light. Help me to shine. Forgive me for all my sins. I recognize that you died on the cross for me, that you resurrected, and you're coming back for me. I believe you are God, and there is no one like you. I accept you, and I surrender my life to you in Jesus' name. Father God, I just pray over these people right now, God, these young people, that the same light that you have placed in me, that no matter what I did, no matter where I went, Father, I wasn't able to hide it. I pray, God, that they would no longer walk in shame, that they would no longer walk in fear, in intimidation. I rebuke the hand of the devil off their lives right now, and I seal them under the blood of Jesus so that they may shine everywhere that they go and never be ashamed of their true identity in Christ. For their identity is to stand out for your glory. We thank you for their boldness. We thank you that they were able to step forward and not allow the devil or their own fear to bind them from receiving what you have for them. And I pray that the act of faith of just coming forward will be blessed with favor, will be blessed with your anointing, will be blessed with your power, will be blessed with your glory. We thank you, not because we're good or worthy, but in the name of Jesus we pray. Somebody begin to give God glory.
You're my God, you're all together.
Spirit, that we need to pray, if you guys don't mind, for those who ministered to us today. So David, Nick, Ileana, is that correct? I feel very strong that the minister, if it's okay with you guys, because you guys are lights. You guys might just come up here. You guys are lights, even you as well, Cliff, as you ministered. But God's light has to be global, and your ministries will go global. I'm such a big believer in global ministry. Not just reach New Jersey, the Northeast, or whatever. You guys got to go sing in Zimbabwe. You know what I mean? Go minister and dance up in Europe and England. Because you... Listen. God is a global God. And your light got to shine. And the enemy's not going to want it to shine. He's going to put any obstacle in the way that he can. But in the name of Jesus, you guys will shine. You guys will shine. Your ministries will make differences. Can we just stretch our hands over them? And Cliff, join them because you minister as well. And we just want to pray that God is going to bless their ministry, that as they pour their heart, listen, ministry is tough. And as they pour their heart into their ministry, as they empty themselves out, that God will fill them. That the Holy Spirit will, that the Holy Spirit will fill them. As they pour out of themselves, out of their talent, out of their thoughts, out of their minds, out of their hearts, but that the Holy Spirit will fill. The Holy Spirit will fill them. They're not anointed for any, they're anointed for a purpose. Their ministry will reach far. It will touch lives. It will shine in the darkest of places. People will come to know Jesus because of you guys. People will come to know Jesus because you sung it so well. Because you said it in your song and it touched their heart. Because when you did, you moved out of your roshi. Your light will shine. Your light will shine in the darkest, in the deepest of the night. Your light will shine. Your light will shine in the deepest of the darkest. Father, put the right people on their path. Put the right things on their path, Father, that they will stay, Father, stay firm in their ministry. It's not just a song that they're singing. It's not just a dance that they're doing, Father. It's not just a performance. It's not just an act, Jesus. They're pouring out of you, Father. Holy Spirit, pour in to them that their light may shine so bright. That their light may shine so bright. Wherever they minister, Father, that you will be seen. That you will be shown. That they will hear you, Jesus, out of their voice. That they will see you move, Holy Spirit, in that dance. Oh, God, fill them up. And we come against the enemy and all his plans for failure, all the shortcomings, all the thoughts that he's put in their heads. We, in the name of Jesus, we break them. We break all shackles. We break all holds. We broke all barriers. The album will sell. The dance will go. Creativity will come more and more and flow. Anoint them, Father, over daily, Father. Daily, daily. Pour into them daily. Daily, daily, fill them daily, Father. Bless them, Jesus. Bless the works of their hands, Father. And they will give you all the glory. They will give you all the honor. They will give you all the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for all that you have done for us, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing up in such a strong way. Thank you for talking to us ever since Thursday, Friday, today, and so on. And tomorrow is even in your hands, Father. And as we receive even more from you, Father, thank you for filling our cups. Thank you for making it overflow, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for showing up such a way, Father. Thank you for taking time just for me. This day, Jesus, just for us, Father. Holy Spirit, remain with us as we part in physically, God, but in spirit, may we remain. Cover us. Send your angels in all ways, God. Send angels to cover us as we drive home and come back, Father. Keep us safe, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. May the peace, the love, the protection of God remain with us now and forevermore. Amen. Each one, hug five. Tomorrow we'll be back at 6. We're here in the morning, and then tomorrow night we are at 6. So hug everybody and have a good night. God bless.